Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresAndOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. That's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and it is a very happy day here at VSAO Advantage because Jimbo Covert, our guest last week, has been inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Mike and I have a lot to talk about that particular topic. It's also Wednesday, so more free picks from Mike. We'll preview the NFL Conference Championship games for the Sunday. And of course, we've got to talk about the news regarding the sign-stealing scandal and get Mike's take on that. And we'll probably touch on other things because, as you know, it's totally unscripted. Let's welcome Mike in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
I've never felt better, Aldo. And hello to everybody at the barroom. Let me get the business out of the way. VSAO Sports, follow at VSAO Sports last night, 2-1, as I had a college basketball. The beauty about me, folks, is that, you know what, I don't care if it's NHL, MLB, NBA, NCAA hoops, NCAA football, I can do it all. And you know what, tonight I got a couple NBA games up at VegasScoresAndOdds.com. I really have been on fire, but for the month, this is for the month now, 49 and 43, that's 92 games you get if you buy a monthly package. Right now, and I'm above 500 after 92 games. That's nothing new to Aldo.
That's
it may
right.
be nothing new to most of the people that listen, but it is a feat that's hard to continue to accomplish. In the NFL, I am right now 4-0 the last 7 days. Check that out. Got other great cappers like Tony Sacco on fire right now, John Anthony. Dennis Macklin's had a great year. So we're getting it done at Vegas Scores and Odds. We're going to be with them all the way into February. We love them as a sponsor. You know what? I mean, it's been a busy, busy football season. There's time to still make money. I'll have three picks at halfway through the show. All with the NBA tonight. I like the card. So, Aldo, all I'm going to say is it's been a good time so far. I won my bet the other night over Portland here on the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage on the Bear Barroom Network. Make sure you follow at Bears Barroom or at Aldo Gandia as they went way over Portland in the Portland game. I am now 35 and 27. So, You know what? It doesn't matter. Free. If you pay, you get more. And you know what? You might be living in another, I don't know, tax bracket, unless you don't report your taxes. I'll go back to you.
Oh, Mike, yeah, I saw that you won that game on Monday. And you've got, what, three more picks for us later in the show?
I got three picks ready to go. I'm in a good mood, like you said. I mean, Jimbo Culver getting in. Excuse me. One of my big thrills. I'm glad it felt like this. I always thought he was the only player from that decade of the 80s that made the all-decade team that didn't get into the Hall of Fame. So now that's been righted. The angular one, Harold Carmichael, got in. There's a lot of my favorites. Ed Sprinkle, who I met after he was gone from being a Bear. This guy, when he played, was like 206 pounds, about 6 foot two. Good-looking guy, even as an older guy, and he was a bouncer on Rush Street. And then as he got older, I met him through Doug Buffone. Guy had a handshake like granite. Just a tough guy, one of the toughest football players of all time, and an all-time Bear, played on a championship team.
That's right. The 1946 NFL championship team was a four-time Pro Bowl pick and a member of the 1940s all-decade team, just like Jimbo Culver was a member of the 1980s all-decade team. Sprinkle had that similar honor for his play, and it was just so sad that both of these players have been overlooked for such a long time. But the right has been wronged, and for Jimbo Culver, he got his call. He was out in California. He got his call from David Baker, the head of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He got that call very early in the morning. Here's a clip, an edited clip from that call.
And I want to thank you for all you've done for the game. And I want to thank you for all you're going to do for this game. And I wanted to welcome you to Canton, Ohio, where we promise to guard your legacy forever.
Thank you.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling right now?
I don't know what to say. I'm shocked. Thank you so much. I mean, it's just incredible. I've been on pins and needles for the last couple of weeks since I talked to Dan Pompey. So, thank you so much.
Mike, he had a lot more to say on your show last week. He was very talkative today. He couldn't find the words, huh? Unbelievable.
But it's a beautiful thing. I remember it really has bugged me for the longest time. And I'll tell you, I remember, and I thank Dan Pompey and everybody involved on Twitter for pushing this. It didn't do anything but show Jimbo anytime I had him on or anytime I saw him at an event or something. That he had the support of everybody in Chicago, and it's a great day, and I want to thank Dan Pompey and everybody that made this possible, because I know Danny used a lot of influence, and, you know, I just thought that now that Danny's got the juice, that there are some rights that were wrong maybe in the past, and I think he was a big deal. I think the play of Jimbo, of course, and I think Jimbo never tooted his horn, but you're right. Today, he was overcome. I know Mr. Baker. I remember when he was the commissioner of the Arena Football League. Very good man. One of the largest men you'll ever want to see, by the way. Just a huge man. The guy goes about 6'8", about 350, and he's wide. I mean, really, happy day for Jimbo, for Penny, for the whole Culver family.
Mike, in the chat room, Berlissimo is reminding everyone that...
I love Berlissimo!
He's unbelievable, right? He's reminding everybody that Jimbo Culver was the only one to ever beat up Steve Mongo McMichael. And you mentioned that on the last show with Jimbo Culver, but you didn't share the details. Go back into your memory banks and tell us what happened with that fight between Mongo and Jimbo.
Well, what happened was they were scrimmaging. And I guess there was a cheap shot. From what I understand, it was Jimbo. It was Mongo.
Uh-huh.
And I love these guys, these football players with mob nicknames. Jimbo, Mongo, you know. And what happened was they got in each other's grill, and Culver planted him. Jimbo planted him, kicked his ass.
Wow.
And Mongo has acknowledged it. Jimbo Culver was one of them quiet dudes, but he never shied away from a fight. You heard him on the bar room say basically that when he was a rookie, he fought almost every day in training camp. So this was nothing new to him. I just think that that's a famous story. Jimbo doesn't mind telling it because he won, you know?
Right.
And it was just, you know, one of those days. So that's just the type of guy Jimbo was. He didn't look for trouble, but he could end it quickly.
He certainly could. Certainly could. I mean, just the toughness of Jimbo Covert, and like the NFL .com says, you know, he was overlooked because of that great defense. You know, it was very easy to overlook the great players on that offense. But finally, that's been righted. You mentioned a couple of the other players that were also inducted. I'll add Winston Hill, the offensive tackle for the Jets.
From the New York Jets.
Yeah.
He protected. I got him in football cards when I was a kid.
Is that right?
I think he was on the 69 team, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was indeed on the 69 team. He protected Joe Namath's backside. And another player inducted, Duke Slater, the offensive tackle from the early Chicago Bears, 1926-31. I'm sorry, Chicago Cardinals.
Right.
And you mentioned Ed Springo. Alex Karras, Mike. Alex Karras.
Mongo, the real Mongo.
Yeah, the real Mongo. Famous.
God bless him. Went on to have a nice movie career. Yes. Hollywood. Yes. Susan Clark. Mm-hmm. Married Susan Clark. Right. Did Monday Night Football. The pride and joy of Gary, Indiana, along with the Carl Malden, if you will, and Hank Stram, all three from Gary, Indiana. That's a pretty good trio right there.
How about it?
And the Jackson 5, of course.
Yeah.
So not a bad group of guys that grew up in Gary, Indiana, but Alex Karras, as Mongo, was fantastic. And the guy was an entertainer, and he was a hell of a football player. And it's good to see him get in, because what I remember were those Green Bay-Detroit bloodbaths on Thanksgiving from Tiger Stadium, or then known as Briggs Stadium, with Bart Starr and them, and there was many an upset with the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, and he had that famous scene in the movie Blazing Saddles where he knocks out a horse with a punch.
Right.
Bobby Dillon, a safety from the Green Bay Packers from the 1950s. Donnie Shell.
I didn't know him. Now, you know me. I pride myself on knowing everything about the NFL. I got to be honest. I didn't know Bobby Dillon.
Yeah, I have to admit, too. I did not know him. But Donnie Shell is a name.
Have you ever heard anybody talk about Green Bay? Even the old guys, Don Hudson, Curly Lambeau. Bobby Dillon, I don't remember them being talking about.
Yeah,
I don't.
Well, let's see what it says. He had 52 career interceptions during his days at Green Bay, and eye-popping 9 picks in 3 individual seasons. So for 5 straight years, he was a Pro Bowler, so that's some of his accomplishments.
There you go. Bobby Dillon, good for him.
Yeah, and what about Donnie Shell from the Steel Curtain, the 1970s through the 1980s? He was a safety who really delivered big hits, and his interception total was the highest among strong safeties up until the time that he retired. George Young, the contributor.
Donnie Shell, by the way, if I can.
Sure.
He was steady. He was like when Joe Dumars was to the Detroit Pistons, you know, just steady, showed up all the time. Fundamentally sound football player, was a ball hawk. Good for him.
Yeah, 14 seasons, 4 Super Bowl rings, not bad. George Young, who was in the front office for the Colts and the New York Giants. Cliff Harris, the safety from the Cowboys from the 1970s.
Right, that's
a name.
Player.
Yeah, that's a name that you and I are familiar.
Number 44.
Right, 6 Pro Bowl seasons. Max Speedy, a end for the Cleveland Browns in the 40s and 50s. That's a name that I'm not familiar with.
Didn't know about Max Speedy, but what a name.
Yeah, and then two more guys, Paul Tagliabue, the commissioner from 1989 to 2006.
What the hell did he do? Right?
Well, it says here that
he became Jacksonville a franchise. Good for you. I'm sure you're proud.
I won't even read what it says here because I'm kind of with you. We could have overlooked him, but somebody who certainly does deserve to be in there is Steve Sable from NFL Films.
Yes.
It was just a master filmmaker.
A man.
And he certainly deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
How did Paul Tagliabue do?
Well, I can read it for you.
But they had a Super Bowl where they in Jacksonville where they had cruise ships because there wasn't enough hotel space. Huh? Wasn't there strikes?
Yes, there were strikes.
There was all sorts of nonsense.
There was all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
I'm sorry. He had not, you know, when I think of great commissioners, I don't have him at the top or even at the bottom of any list.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm
not
with
kidding,
you.
Man.
Well, he did. He was right after Roselle. He took over and he just continued to add more.
Over what? He took over an empire.
He took over an empire and didn't screw it up.
The place was rocking when he took it over.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that is hilarious.
It was all about Roselle. I mean, Tagliabue wants that after Ditka. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just don't work. You know what I mean? It was a tough act to follow.
Heart 4803 says maybe it was because he brought in instant replay. That's another strike.
I'd like to strangle him if he's still alive. Bringing it in. A pain in the neck, man.
And then George Bayless, Bearlissimo, wants me to ask you a great question here. Who's the next Chicago Bear to get in? Will it be Olin Cruz, Lance Briggs, Devin Hester, Charles Tillman? All of them will be eligible or are eligible. Do you have a preference on any of those guys? Or?
I got to go, you know what, probably Olin, but I got Peanut first.
Okay.
I think Peanut Tillman was the best defender on that team.
Yeah.
I think he was better than Urlacher. I think he was better than Briggs. I think Peanut Tillman was a monster, man.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Besides
there.
Besides that, he dunked on me at a celebrity game.
Yeah, did he?
His rookie season. Guy was unbelievable, man. Guy was the guy. The guy got the ball. I mean, I made a basket. He got offended. And he came down. I thought it was Dominique Wilkins, man. He had the hops and everything. He's a great athlete. Good human being. I think I push him first and Olin second.
That is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Well, he loved every minute. We met after the game. We kidded. It was great memories. Great memories. And a great football player. And really, when you see players stripping players of the football now, that was Peanut Tillman.
That's right.
That was it.
The peanut punch. He popularized
right.
it, perfected it to an art, and you know, he deserves a certainly deserves being in the Hall of Fame. Whether he should go in before some of these other names mentioned is debatable, but he definitely deserves to be in. That is for sure.
The guy to me was a ball player, man. Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't have to worry about that side too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't forget, he went up against the best, Randy Moss. You know, guys like that back then. It was no picnic in that division. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we started looking up the receivers back then.
Calvin.
Jordy Nelson.
Calvin Johnson.
Good ball players, man.
Right. Megatron from the Lions. Calvin Johnson. Absolutely.
You had Jordy Nelson. You had Megatron.
Yep.
You had Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He did very well. He did very well against all of them, and also his off-the-field work. He won the NFL Man of the Year Award, the Walter Payton Award for his...
He's an FBI agent, isn't he now?
You know what? I'm not sure if he is. Maybe someone in the chat room can help us with that.
Yeah. I know he was trying to be.
Yeah. All right, let's...
You know me, the FBI makes me nervous. You know what I'm saying,
yeah.
Uncle, don't you? You know what I mean.
Heart 4803, I think, is confirming that Charles Tillman is an FBI agent.
Hey, you know what
cool.
FBI means? Forever bothering Italians. Oh, God.
That's great. All right, let's move.
That's an old one. My uncle told me that a lot of times back in the day.
Yeah. That is a great one. I never heard that one, actually.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's turn our attention to the conference championship games. Let's at least get one in before we go to your picks. Let's talk about the San Francisco 49ers and Green Bay Packers. The Packers are getting 7 points. The total, the over-under, is 45.5. And Kyle Shanahan, you know, was talking at the press conference about that game back in November that the 49ers just completely dominated the Packers, beat them 37-8, and they sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times and it limited him to just 1.7 net yards per pass play on 33 throws. And Shanahan was asked, you know, if he... if there was any that game had any relevance for Sunday's game, and if he thought any of his players believed that, what would he tell his players?
Don't be that stupid. That's not real. This is about Sunday's game. This is the NFL, so no team. The game before never matters like that. There's four teams left, and there's four very, very good teams, and it's going to be a hard game for all of us. So, and also our players, the type of guys they are, the way they've been all year, I'm not concerned about that. They'll have to answer that question, I'm sure, a lot, but I don't think that'll be a worry for our players, which means it won't be for me.
Mike, do you put any, as a professional gambler, do you look back at that game and it weighs on your decision on where to lay your bet?
Not really. I look at what the system tells me to do. Off the top of my head, that seems like a lot of points, no matter what happened the first time. I mean, this is a different type of ball game, different type of animal. You got a battle-tested veteran at quarterback with a very good running game, the wide receiver, Adams. Defense playing very well. You try to forget what San Francisco did last week.
Mm-hmm.
They played well last week. So did Green Bay. Means nothing in this game. Garoppolo come back and be what he was.
Right.
He's getting deeper into the unknown. I love the way Kyle Shanahan coaches. You and I talked about this on Monday. By the way, don't forget, folks, Monday and Wednesday will be off next week. And then after that, we go back to work the Hunter Show coming up in 2 weeks, always at noon. And I got to just say that if I had to pick it now, I'd probably take the points.
Interesting.
I'd probably take the points, but I don't have to pick it now. I haven't even charted it. And this is the way I used to bet when I lost. You know what I mean?
Right.
with no information. Now I'll have something different in 3, 4, 5 days. Far off the top of my head, I could see them staying within the number.
Well, I'll give you some more information for when you get ready.
I love more information.
For when you get ready to chart is that in that game when the Niners easily dominated, they did not have their starting left tackle, Joe Staley. They did not have defensive end Dee Ford. They did not have linebacker Quan Alexander, nor running back Matt Brader or kicker Robbie Gould. And all of those players will be healthy. And in fact, there are no significant injuries at all. And so you're going to have a very healthy San Francisco 49ers at home against the Green Bay Packers. Now, just
what was the score of the game the last time?
The score was 37-8. It was a complete domination. But here's
with the 49ers.
Yeah, 49ers a winner over the Packers. With all of those guys out with injuries. Yes, that's pretty impressive. Now
I would guess the score might have been the other way. You know,
yeah.
But Green Bay, you know what? That was a stinker, but they haven't had many. That's what I'm going to tell you. But, yeah, that was a stinker. And I don't know. The chances of that happening again, I think we'll be talking in 2 weeks about this. I mean, I can't imagine Green Bay. First of all, it will make me absolutely sick if Green Bay's in the Super Bowl.
You and a million other Bears fans, yes.
Yeah, believe me, it will make me mentally ill.
Oh, my goodness.
The only time I might have been worse is when it was an all-New York World Series with the Mets and the Yankees. That made me really ill.
Oh, my gosh,
but,
yes.
I'm looking at it, and I think that Green Bay's farther along, and they've already passed the test with me. I didn't think they could win 12 games in a regular season. They won 13, and look what they're doing now.
Well, and you said that that was one of their only stinkers. And, in fact, Mike, the Packers, that was their only loss on the road this season.
Right.
And they are 7-1. They have the best road record in the NFL. And Matt LaFleur, just this morning, about an hour and 15 minutes ago, he said this about that last game.
That last game was a long time ago. I think both teams have come a long way since then, and you certainly take a look at it and try to take bits and pieces from it, but there's a lot of tape on them, and we know what we have to do. I mean, it's going to be a great challenge. They're a great football team. They have been all year long. They've got great coaches, and we're just focused on our preparation and trying to be the best that we can be, because we're going to need it.
Mike, you said that if you had to make a choice now, you'd take the points. And here's a little tidbit to make that an even a more wiser choice is the total. Excuse me. Green Bay is 6-1 against the spread in their last seven games that they've played in January. That's pretty impressive. Now, you've taught me one thing about these trends is different teams, different opponents, different personnel, and so forth. So don't pay too much attention to those trends.
But Aaron Rodgers has been there for a lot of that.
Yeah, you got that right. He's been there for all of those games. So,
right.
So
yeah.
that's an interesting point. And San Francisco is 5-2 against the spread in their last seven games. So that's a trend there that that people should consider, perhaps.
It's going to be a great football game. I mean, really, the playoffs have been great. The NFL is back. To me, they were dead about 2.5-3 years ago for all the nonsense and just the way that the PR was going, and the league was just okay. They were still trying to figure out, the concussion stuff and everything else. There was just all sorts of nonsense, a lot of domestic trouble, and it just seems this year it's been more on-the-field stuff, which is, I think that's the way they like it, believe me.
Oh, you better believe that.
Yeah. Hey, how about the Bears moving?
Oh, okay.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah, what do you think about it?
You got a bunch of little kids now. See, when we were kids, we never got to see them. Unless, you know, I mean, my God, it would have. So then when they went to Platteville, they went to Bourbon, they said, you know what, that's great. You know? I mean, there's contact with the players. There's a lot. It's something for the kids to look up to. I mean, they look up to these players. I would have loved my uncle. I know if there was such a thing as open training camps back in the 60s, my uncle would have taken me, and I would have just been incredibly, unbelievably insane about the Bears even more if I could have seen them. I had to go to, like, Magic Kiss for a grand opening to meet Rick Caceres. You know what I mean?
Right.
I had to go. I mean, that's when you met the players, when they opened grocery stores and stuff.
Right, right.
I met Stan Mikita at a Kroger opening. I'm not too old, am I? Kroger was here, and so was Stan. That's how old I am. I'm the only one left.
That's funny. So you're not for the move from Bourbon A to Alice Hall for training?
Hell no! They should go for a week. Come on. You know?
Yeah, you know what?
What do you think?
I think I'm going to withhold judgment. I'm going to go to camp.
Are they going to have open practices in Lake Forest then?
Well, yes, they are.
Well, that's okay then.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
So the question
that's
is...
That's okay. All's forgiven. Never mind.
Okay, let's move on.
Otherwise, we were going to have to worry about Brax.
That's right, poor guy. He was very upset when he heard the news.
Yeah, there was something on social media last night, a car going off a cliff in California. I thought it might have been him.
Well, let's move on.
All right. Yeah! 35-27, Vegas scores and odds, yippee! That's what I do, folks. I don't mess around. I really don't. And I'll tell you what, we got some games tonight. And I got three picks. We were 1-0 Monday. Got three picks this week, okay? First, ladies and gentlemen, they are getting 5.5 points. Your San Antonio Spurs. Now, 6:35 game tonight at Miami. Miami playing good ball, 27-12. While the Spurs with the great Greg Popovich, now that he's lost his good players, sucks at 17-21. But I like them getting the 5.5. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not just telling you. I'm imploring you. That's right. Take them. Take them right now and enjoy the ambiance on some winners, okay? Now, next. Oh, yeah. This is one you're going to like, okay? The Kings versus the Mavericks, ladies and gentlemen. The Kings versus the Mavericks. Now, you're wondering, what do you think, Mike? I go, well, that's what you got me here for, ladies and gentlemen. Take the Sacramento Kings. They are getting 3.5 at home against Dosic or whatever. You know what? I'll pronounce his name when he plays better. I bet him the last time out. The next thing I know, he's ripping his jersey off because he couldn't hit a free throw. He was 8 for 13. He helped sink the ship. So I got the Sacramento Kings. And last but not least, I hate these West Coast games. They're like the 11 o'clock NCAA games to me. These late games, they're nothing but jinxes. But I'm loving me. Oh, yeah. I'm loving me some Orlando Magic tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Plus the 10 points. Go with the Orlando Magic getting 10 against the Lakers. So we got the Magic, we got the Kings, and we got San Antonio. Aldo, back to you, my friend.
All right. Excellent stuff, Mike. Tell people again where they should go to get these packages over at VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
Just go right there, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. Go to North to North. Check out my profile. Just see it there. Punch it or follow them at VSAO Sports right near the 700 mark. Get us up there, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate it very much. Now, Aldo, can I revisit something with you,
Mike? Absolutely.
You seem very uneasy about the bourbon, I think. Very indecisive to me.
Well, I am going to withhold opinion on it until I go and see, you know, what the new facilities are like.
I heard they're nice.
It's a much shorter drive for me. I mean, I had to drive an hour.
You know, I got to be honest. I thought they were going to stop everything.
You thought they were going to stop everything?
Yeah, not do anything for the fans.
Oh, okay.
But now you're telling me they're going to have things where the fans can go.
That is correct. They're still going to have a number of open...
And I got no problem with it. I'm with you.
Okay. You ask me what I think, and then you keep interrupting me. So.
Well, I don't know. What are you real testy? I'm just asking a question. When I was talking about it earlier, it just seemed like you were going between... You were stuck between the two, that's all,
No, I'm not at all stuck. I'm just withholding judgment until practices open up at Halas Hall and take a look at it, and then we'll say if this is better or not. So that's all.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right, though. It was a far trip. I'll tell you the trip that was a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Platteville. Oh. Platteville was a killer trip.
Did you ever go to Rensselaer, Indiana, when they practiced out there in the 60s?
Yeah, but people didn't go to that, you know? They just, like, Obradovich said it was in the woods somewhere. So all of a sudden, there they were. They were in Rensselaer, you know? So, yeah, they didn't go to that. But Platteville was, like, it was a fun trip. The media loved it. Ditka loved it. It was the heyday when the players you'd see about in the town.
Right.
But it was a fire trip.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
And you know, I like change. I like to see things change for the better. Like you said, the facility at Halas Hall, you know, multi-million dollar improvements and stuff. So maybe it's good. What I just hope that they can accommodate as many fans as they like to go. So that's my biggest concern.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. I'm going to be with you on this one. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think that it probably bothered them that they probably will not have the same access or the same amount of days, maybe. Who knows what's going to happen, but we'll wait and see.
Yep, all right. Now,
I'm flexible.
You are.
When's the last time you called? You used to call me that all the time, right? Yeah, okay. Come on.
That's right.
Flexibility, baby.
Absolutely. It's good to be flexible. All right.
I feel that way.
Let's turn our attention to the Titans at Chiefs. This should be a humdinger. There I go again with humdinger.
I love that. You know what? It's almost like malarkey with the other guy. I understand.
That's right.
Yeah.
Andy Reid was told that the reason the Chiefs are hosting this AFC Conference Championship game was because the Titans upset the Ravens. If not, they would have been playing in Baltimore. And Andy responded by just speaking glowingly about the Titans. This is Andy Reid.
They're playing real good football right now. They're strong. They're well coached. Mike does a nice job with them. That running back's not a bad player. He brings it every snap. He's a big fella that can really move. Got a good offensive line, good receivers. Quarterback's playing well. You always like those stories when a guy didn't have as much success as he probably would have liked at one place, but comes here and he's got the guys in the championship game. Their defense is playing good football, and their special teams are good. So all the way around, this it's a well-deserved team to be in this position.
Mike, you talked about the Titans on Monday, and you spoke glowingly about them too, particularly that big running back, Derrick Henry. So what's your gut saying? I know you haven't charted the game yet, but what's your gut saying so far?
Man, I've been riding them. I've been riding the Titans.
Nice.
It's hard to get off them.
Mm-hmm.
I did question Andy Reid last week, and look what he did too. Look what their team did. I mean, seriously, if you have a team that's got a decent head coach, they should still lose that game. They don't try the fake punt. They may go for it on the 13-yard line before that and go for the touchdown instead of the field goal. The next thing you're up, maybe they're up 27 to nothing. There's no coming back. I think everybody acknowledges that. There was some miscoaching. There was some misdealings here, but give Kansas City all the credit in the world. I'd be surprised if they put up 50 again, to be honest with you. I just think Tennessee has got that. I think they believe. They've been in a playoff game every single week, even before the playoffs started, folks. And they smell it. And Mike Vrabel's been there. Don't think he hasn't.
Right.
Played what he won 3 with New England.
That's right.
Right now, the spread's 7.5. Man, I've been riding the Titans, but it is so hard. If it was 9 or 8, I'd probably take the Titans off the top of my head. Right now, I'm leaning Titans. I've taken them the last 2-3 weeks.
Well, they're 7.
And I think they're playing fundamentally good football. And there's no talk of Tannehill. There's a lot of Mahomes talk right now. But let's face it, they're not here without Tannehill.
Right. You're absolutely right.
You know?
And they're 7-2 against the spread in their last 9 games, and so that, you know, that makes it kind of attractive that they're getting 7.5 points. And then the over under is 51.5. There were 51 points scored in the first half of the KC last game, but
listen to this, it's up to 53 now.
Whoa, people are betting.
But I'm going to give everybody a little lesson here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you listen to Monday's show of my buddy Elves, we were going back and forth on the Clemson game.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you know, I got the service play here. Now, I'll be the first to say, because I had accountability Tuesday, mm-hmm. That I lost the Clemson game. I had Clemson plus the 5.5. I lost that. But I had the under, but I couldn't tell Eldo. But from what I heard from Eldo's declaration, I felt good about the under. But I barely got it. It was 69.5. And it came just in at 67. But when I told Eldo, you go, oh, there's going to be a lot of points scored there. And I had heard 4 people that know their stuff like Eldo does say the same thing. So I felt good, but let me tell you something. I almost lost both sides.
Wow.
And I'm looking at this here, just like the Ravens game. And I'm starting to think there should be more. If the Titans are going to, if there's going to be 53 points scored, to me, that means the Titans lose.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yes. And George, yeah, in the chat room says if Casey scores 30, then they win. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good call because, I think it's got to be somewhere, unless Tannehill's for real.
Yeah, let me.
Unless Tannehill's for real, you can score, as we saw Watson do, on Kansas City, but can you keep up with Kansas City?
Right.
As we saw that they couldn't do. So I'll have this game charted. It might be a service play, might not. Maybe I'll make it on the odds couple on Friday at 6. We're going to be doing the show at 6 o'clock.
That's on ESPN 1000 for those of you.
That's right. I work on the 2 greatest platforms that a guy could have. I work with 2 great partners. I work with a great guy, Eldo, and on the Bears Bar Room, which is my home. And then we got ESPN 1000 on terrestrial radio with Carmen DeFalco, which is the best, I think, radio, on-air radio program. I want to be on the Daily Wager. I got to figure out a way to get on that thing.
Yeah.
Me and Carmen can't get out. I don't know what. I see Baron Stanford Steve. What do we got to do? Shave our heads? Huh? I don't know what I got to do. Put on 10 pounds? What's up? No, but it's fun. And gambling's coming.
Oh.
We have Hawthorne as a sponsor on the odds couple, plus Vegas Scores and Odds here with us, and you just and they're starting to get the. We're just wondering when the game is going to happen with us.
Yeah, I hope you know they get this thing resolved because it's so unfair to people who are interested in gaming and they're just being pulled around on the string because these politicians can't get their stuff together. So let's hope they resolve that. Hey, I wanted to play a soundbite of Mike Vrabel. He was asked in a press conference, you know, about this Kansas City Chiefs offense, but he stressed, you know, let's not forget this defense. It's a very well-designed defense for Kansas City, but beyond that, here's one of the reasons they're playing well.
The scheme is what it is, but the players are playing hard. They believe in each other. I noticed, and as you watch, you know, their effort to the football and the way that they chase and the way that they tackle, those are great compliments to Spags and his staff. It'll be a huge challenge.
Spagnuolo came over to coach that defense, and one of the things that, as Vrabel said, he's made some schematic changes, but there just seems to be an overall energy to that defense now. They're hustling more. They're making plays more. Last year, remember, this Kansas City Chiefs defense was a sieve. They just allowed points after points, but this season, this defensive team could give Tannehill and Derrick Henry some problems. So who knows, you know, nobody knows what the final is going to be, but it could be a low-scoring game just because of these two defenses.
Yeah, and you know what, Aldo? I'll give them this, too. I mean, look, it's great when you're a defense like Kansas City, and you know even if you make a mistake, you got Patrick Mahomes in that offense to come make up for that mistake.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that, like, for instance, our Chicago Bears play under a different dynamic. If we make a mistake, we're screwed, you know? Because our offense may not be good enough to get us back. We just saw a 24-0 lead. I saw it with my own eyes. I had money on the game. Disintegrate. That's the beauty of gambling. I had it handicapped right. I just didn't handicap that the head coach would lose his water. But panic. He panicked.
He
You're
sure
up 24-7, man. You're on your home 30. What are you doing?
He's still
Where
out.
Where we at? Gilborne Park? We at the Pee Wee League? We at Portage? What the hell's going on around here? You know?
Yeah.
You can't handicap. Brian added something. I say you can't handicap injury. You can't handicap turnovers. I'll give you another one you can't handicap. Knuckleheads. Like, yeah.
That's right.
Because that was the dumbest play I've seen in years. Because of the situation. But I'm not bitter. I'm just saying that's the beauty of gambling. I was doing the rumble. I was charting things up. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm in the fetal position with my thumb in my mouth. Come on.
Mike, do you, when you chart a game, do you account for experience at the head coaching position? I mean, because you got Andy Reid, who has been coaching since I was a little baby, and then you got Mike Vrabel, who's relatively new to the head coaching profession. Does that factor into your thinking?
No. If it comes out Tennessee, I'm taking them. And you know what? If it factors in, it will show me. But there's a lot of dynamics that come into play with this deal that I perfected and that I got. And that I could pick 92 games and be over 500. There's not many people in this world that can do that, folks. And that's what I did. I picked 92 games in 1 month. You're not going to get cheated with me at Vegas Scores and Odds. Plus, you get three games like I just gave you. Plus, you win the other night. Plus, you win with the odds couple, for God's sake. I don't know what anybody wants anymore. I really don't. But I'm going to tell you another thing. I think the best game of the weekend is the Green Bay game.
Yeah.
I think that one there is the one where I'm going, oh, I'm a little bit wondering. You know what I mean? That's it. I'm just wondering that. And Aaron Rodgers has fooled me all year long, and I know he hasn't had a real good year, but this Aaron Jones is a hell of a player, too. And Rodgers still has it in his head. He still makes the big plays at the opportune times. When it's 3rd and 6 and he's behind center, you're almost, if you're betting against him, saying, man, it's going to be tough to stop.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to stop.
Yeah, you know, I have this gut feeling that the Packers are not going into this game with a lot of confidence, and I'll tell you why.
Well, did you hear LaFleur at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Get the LaFleur thing up again, the one that you played.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on a second.
See if you can find it, folks, because I listened. I you know, I should have hit on this earlier with my guy, Aldo, but he said something at the end here. Something like, we're going to need it.
That last game was a long time ago.
Let me fast forward a little bit.
Football team. If I can. They have been all year long. They've got great coaches, and we're just focused on our preparation and trying to be the best that we can be because we're going to need it.
We're going to need it.
Because we're going to need it. It sounds like Bill O'Brien. We need 50.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
You're very,
I
very.
I heard that earlier.
Yes.
Like, wow.
You're very observant to bring to get that because, yeah, I listened to his entire press conference from after the game that they won after over Seattle and then this morning's. And he just doesn't sound real confident.
Yeah, you're right.
This,
he sounds scared a little bit.
He does. And I got to tell you this. That Seahawks game, the Seahawks were on their way to win that game.
With four
or 5 minutes to go. The crowd at Lambeau Field was totally quiet. They had a bad feeling. And it was only because, you know, the referees gave that call to the tight end, making it a first down and a couple of lucky things. But the Seahawks were on their way to a big upset. So I don't know. I got a feeling that the 49ers might blow this Packers team out just like they did in the regular season.
Boy, they look good last week, and I like Tennessee right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like San Francisco where their teams are at.
Mm-hmm.
Where it looks like, I mean, you're right, you play LaFleur and then you just play Vrabel, and Vrabel just sounds like, we're ready, man.
Yeah,
we're ready. And LaFleur goes, we're gonna need it. We're going to need this. We're going to need that. So sometimes you can sort of, you know, sense things through message. And I sense through message that the Tennessee Titans, I think, can win their game. But as I'm listening to the two coaches, I don't think Green Bay can win their game.
Yeah. It's going to be a great weekend, I think, of football.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, you know, it's great that there's so much focus on what's going on in the field and not what's going on off the field. But that may not be the case with the upcoming Major League Baseball season. I'm going to switch topics on you here and tell you that this stealing signs scandal could be even bigger than we know. There is a report that veteran infielder Logan Morrison named the Yankees and Dodgers, in addition to the Red Sox and Astros, as teams that have used cameras to steal signs. An October article on electronic espionage in the Bleacher Report cites league sources who also think the Diamondbacks, Indians, Rangers, Blue Jays, Nationals, and even the Chicago Cubs have dabbled in the electronic dark arts. And Mike, just for people who don't know what I'm talking about, this is a portion of a CBS News report from Monday when it was announced that Major League Baseball had handed down penalties to the general manager and manager of the Houston Astros for stealing signals. Take a listen to this CBS report.
The team had been cheating for months. They stole signs from a center field camera trained on the opposing team's catcher. Astros players studied a monitor, then warned their batters a certain pitch was coming. In this audio-enhanced clip, you're about to hear the signal for an off-speed pitch. Two bangs on a trash can. Major League Baseball's investigation concluded virtually all the players had some involvement or knowledge of the scheme. Astros general manager Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch were banned for a year, then fired by Astros owner Jim Crane.
It's the stiffest penalty that any team has ever taken or given.
MLB isn't done. They're also investigating the Boston Red Sox and manager Alex Cora, formerly the Astros bench coach.
Mike, as a professional gambler, this must make your stomach sick to know that perhaps a lot of baseball games were decided because of cheating. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, the Astros should lose their title. They should lose their title, period. You can't cheat and then let them keep the title. The players are being not even held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other guys. It's the manager. It's the GM, and I get that. But the players knew about it, and they lived off it. You know what I remember in 2017 when I was watching Houston in the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the barroom listeners might remember it too. Boy, Houston's hitting the ball. Boy, they're on top of everything. Boy, it's like they almost know what's being thrown. They were on fire all year. And all you heard was analytics. You know what analytics must mean? Cheating. Because they do not deserve to have their World Series title. And if the other teams did it, then they deserve to have the penalty that the Astros are getting. The only difference would be the Astros don't win the World Series. They go with a vacant title. Screw it. You can't give cheaters that kind of... You can't say, okay, we know you cheated, but you're getting the title anyway. Now, if everybody cheated, then you vacate that title. If all of them were in the playoffs. For God's sake, to let them keep the title, it's staying forever. And Alex Cora, I'm not a fan anyway, never have been. He doesn't know how bad he looks right now.
Oh, awful.
He was with Boston and the Astros.
Yep, yes.
And he made a lot of money by doing this, and he cost... I mean, there's pitchers there fighting. That Mike Fiers guy gave up like 12 homers to him.
Right.
Because they knew what was coming. It hurt his career.
Huge. I mean, he will never get a job in baseball again. That is for sure.
He shouldn't.
Right. I mean, if...
He shouldn't. I'm sorry. And if anybody else is doing it, it's against the rules. And now... If you're going to let these guys keep, to me, I'll never look at them again the same.
Yep.
I'll never look at Altuve the same. Mm-hmm. I'll never look at Bregman the same. None of them. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal, man.
Yeah.
And I think it's gotten bigger, but baseball, Manfred and Torrey, unless you ban them from their title, then you're weak. Then you're weaklings.
There is a lot of complaining by baseball officials who are speaking anonymously because Major League Baseball has told owners and executives not to comment publicly on this scandal, which, first of all, I don't
know. Cat's out of the bag, Alex. Yeah,
yes, I don't understand why they're taking this hush-hush approach. You need to be transparent. So I got to ask you, Mike, Pete Rose has been banned from the Hall of Fame because
he's got to go in.
Yeah. Do you think this is worse than the Pete Rose situation? Because I kind of think that it is.
It is. It's worse. I mean, it's like, look, I don't care whether you're talking steroids or cheating electronically and doing it the way that they were doing it. Somebody brought up the White Sox did it in 1980. This was great. Some guy on social media goes, hey, Mike, the White Sox did it in 1980. Yeah, you know what they had? A 25-watt bulb. Okay? Wait a minute. Stick it out of the hole in the center field scoreboard? I can't see that far. Okay? I couldn't see the bulb if it was on. And on top of that, this is the best, Alex. They're 70 and 92 that year. So apparently the plan wasn't working. So to me, they've been doing it since the 50s. They tried that with the electronic stuff in the 50s with the Bobby Thompson homer. Look, you're caught cheating like they've been. You don't deserve a title. Period.
I think that I'm with you. I got to give it some more thought, but I think I'm with you.
Well, why don't you and I play checkers? And you get 12 checkers and I get 18. And then after I win, you can't complain.
Checkmate, you win.
Right?
You win the
argument. That's just
you,
maniac.
Oh.
But all I'm trying to tell you is, how about if you throw to me a Super Bowl? We'll play fast pitch. You throw a Super Bowl to me when I'm batting, and I throw a medicine ball to you when I'm pitching. You know?
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't cheat and get away with it. And that will be the deterrent, and plus losing jobs.
Right. Huge.
But these ball players, they're as bad as the rest of them.
Yes.
And Manfred's a weakling. Torrey's a weakling.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yes. Well, and I quoted a little bit from a story on Ringer.com written by Michael Bauman, so I failed to acknowledge that, to give attribution to that. But he went on to write something that I thought was really interesting, Mike. He says that there is a growing stench of cheating in Major League Baseball. He says, you know, there's suspicious league-wide spending freezes. There's service time manipulation that Chris Bryant is going through that right now.
That's nothing new, though.
Yeah, that is true. And then he goes on with this list, impropriety surrounding the recruitment of amateur free agents.
Look who owns the teams.
Yeah.
Impropriety? It's their middle name.
Yes.
Come on.
So it's just a really big black eye to Major League Baseball.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, and so, you know, we those of us who love baseball, we're still going to love the game. But, man, oh, man, you know, are you going to gamble on it with confidence? Are you going to go to the ballpark and spend money on souvenirs and all this stuff knowing that maybe, you know, you're participating in something that isn't on the up and up?
Look. You're talking to a guy they used to go to the harness races once a week. Okay? So on the up and up, when we're talking on the up and up, I'll never forget, I go to my buddy, man, these things are fixed. He goes, it don't matter, just pick the horse that's fixed. They're fixing it for.
That's right.
So I'll still gamble. But I mean, there's a lot of people that lost careers.
Right.
I mean, and look at Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi got fired after the Astros beat him. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, when the Astros beat him in the American League Championship Series.
Oh, yes, yes, that is true.
Okay?
Right.
They go on, they beat the Yankees, and they play the Dodgers, right?
Yes,
no?
Yes.
No, okay, they beat the Yankees. Now, maybe the Yankees were cheating, but we haven't heard reports. We've heard reports they might have been. But we know Houston did with Alex the Rat Cora.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. But here's the deal. I don't know if Joe Girardi, if they win the series, gets fired by the Yankees. I couldn't believe. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Sure.
So he lost that series based on the fact that Houston hitters knew what was coming.
Mm. Wow.
That's brutal.
That is brutal.
And he lost his job.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, though. You say that you're going to continue.
You like when I come up with those out of left field things like that?
That was outstanding. Not out of left field. That was out of the heavens.
Out of the heavens, my friend.
But here's the thing. So let's say you bet $1,000, $10,000 on the Astros opponent to that 2017 World Series. You lost your $10,000, and now you're learning that the Astros cheated. So are you going to feel good about betting on baseball in the future?
Well, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
If they vacate the title, nobody wins the title. Legally, you could get your money back, but the tickets have already been exchanged. Money's been paid out. This is something that happened in the past. I will be better. I won't have a problem betting baseball. Like I said, I bet the harness races, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what? On a winning night, you don't give a shit. You were a genius handicapping. On a losing night, the races are fixed and you're getting screwed.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it is. But I love gambling. I'm hoping this is bad for baseball, though.
Yes.
And I don't like the punishment being weak. Oh, you're taking away $5 million? Shh. They spend that in uniforms. Are you kidding me? That's nothing.
That's nothing, man. You're absolutely
right. They deserve to have the whole thing thrown at them. Kennesaw Mountain North. That's who should be the commissioner. Kennesaw Mountain North. They'd all be in trouble. Believe me, I don't like that stuff.
So you're fine with the Astros championship being taken away from them, but you know.
And Boston if they did it.
Right, exactly. But those people who lost their bets as a result of it, it is what it is, correct?
Yeah,
I have to agree with you. Just can't
go
back.
Yeah, you're screwed. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
You know, unless a guy's got a ticket left, maybe somebody's got a ticket left, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
You know, it just was amazing the way they hit that series.
Really?
And you know what? Then the pitcher tips them off from the other team, tips the authorities off, going, they know what I'm throwing.
Mm-hmm.
He gets screwed up in his career.
You've played a lot of baseball in your life.
Yeah.
And so how big of an advantage is it when you know that an off-speed pitch is coming?
Oh, my God. Here's the worst. The best one is if you know a fastball's coming.
Mm-hmm.
If you know a fastball's coming, that's the best.
Yeah, just unload it.
If you know a curveball, they could tell you. Sandy Koufax could have said, I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
And you might still miss it. You wait a little bit, but it's still got that hook and everything else. If you know a fastball's coming, but you know what they were banging on? Change-ups, which are supposed to be fastballs
right. That
turn into slow balls.
Exactly.
So what they're doing is they're not ahead of themselves. They just stay back on their back foot. I almost sound like Ted Williams, only
look at you.
I'm not, because my head's not frozen. But they stay back, and that's what they were getting. They were killing that Flyers guy on the changeup.
Yep, that is right. Boy, I got to tell you, it's a fascinating topic. It's something that I hope Major League Baseball continues to investigate and clean it up, because it's just not good for baseball and not good for all of sports in the industry.
Even from Mountain North.
You're the guy that...
And Aldo Giamatti.
Aldo Giamatti. I like that. I like that.
Nobody knows Paul Giamatti. That's his son.
That's right. That's right.
Nobody knows that until you look at him.
Oh, yes. There is a similarity. Absolutely.
There's a little bit of a similarity there.
Absolutely. Mike, another great show. Why don't you let people know about Vegas Scores and Odds and where people should go for their gambling needs?
We'll be up on podcast shortly, because Aldo, nobody does the job that this guy does. And you know what? The podcast will be up. We're off next week. We got 3 picks up, as you know, so pass the word around if you've been listening. That's fine. We'll be off next week. Aldo's going to the Senior Bowl.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, hitting and massaging. That's me. oh, yeah, baby. Anyway, once again, Vegas Scores and Odds, Bears Barroom. We love you all. Aldo, have a good trip, buddy.
Thank you. Remember to go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com and take a look at the packages there. And, Mike, I love you. We'll talk to you on the 27th of January.
See you, buddy.
All right.
Have a good vacation.
Thank you very much.
When you get back, we'll work on the autobiography.
Hey, are you still planning on going to Vegas?
I'm talking to him by phone. I'm telling you, these guys...